Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, it's your boy, Arizona Verse, and with me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
Yeah, that's me.
This is the On Black He's Mexican podcast, but first things first, Papo.
What?
Iggy Azalea won Best Rap Artist and Best Rap Album at the American Music Awards.
As well she should have. Is she not a white queen that deserves everything and shouldn't be called ugly because she's had to do the struggle of cleaning toilets and stripping her way out of Miami, Trina style. Probably had her stomach pumped quite a few times.
Yo, I'm
happy.
You know my love for Iggy. Going back to last year, she was one of my dedications, you know, and I've spoke highly of her, and I said that she could be the female Eminem in the sense of she could really like pave the way for white female rappers on a mainstream level. The problem is the more she's been around, the more she annoys the fuck out of me. And I hate to say it, I think I lost a lot of respect with the whole Snoop Dogg thing. She took that a little too seriously. And I kind of like a typical pretty white girl. Like, oh my God, how dare you say something about me? Just let me be pretty.
And for those that didn't listen to the last episode, or was it a Halloween episode? It was a fucking month ago, I guess. She fucking really looks like Squidward. They say she looks like the Marlon Wayans from White Chicks. No, she looks like fucking Squidward. She can be ugly at times. But that's why we try not to look at that. We look at that ass.
But this past week at the 42nd American Music Awards, she won two big awards as she beat both Eminem and Drake in the favorite rap hip hop album and artist categories. And she also was nominated the Artist of the Year. She had 6 nominations all total. Now, I think Iggy could spit. Like, I think Iggy's dope. Like, I'm a fan of, like, the stuff of hers that I like. I do like. But, and I don't get caught up in the whole, like, well, she's Australian. She raps like Trina. Like, I don't really care too much about that because
that's my biggest gripe with her.
Still try to keep, you know, our hip hop, you know, we're keeping it real. Hip hop got taken away from us back in like 97 with the invention of the champagne hip hop rap. Like all this shit has been on a mainstream level. Mm-hmm. The majority of this shit is gimmicks and has been gimmicks since 97. So me, once again, being a pro wrestling fan, I equate hip hop music to the same thing. Like this isn't how these people are 100% of the time. This is the artists that blow up. They take what's inside of them and they ramp it up to 1,000, and that's how they become this mega superstar artist. It's the same thing within professional wrestling. The reason why Stone Cold got over, why that character got over, because that was his inner personality turned up to 1,000 and, you know, resonated with people. So with Iggy using a fake fucking accent while she's rapping, I don't care. Like, I don't get caught up in all that. Whatever. It's hip hop. It's like it's a fucking, the machine is pumping millions of dollars in her to sell records. I don't give a fuck. If the music sounds good, then the music sounds good. And it does sound good. But the bitch is not the best fucking rap artist. And the bitch album damn sure wasn't the fucking best hip hop album. The only record I know is Fancy. And then she had a record with like Rita Ora. Like, I thought it was a pop album.
Yo,
wasn't it pop?
First off, yeah, Fancy, I fucking hate that track because I don't like that Charlie, whatever the fuck her name is, when she was singing that. That's not the way she sings. Why the fuck they had her doing that? I don't fucking know.
I got now, the Hip Hop Diet article up in the background if you want to check it. So
now, because this was the official, what do you call it? The official fucking first album, they also re-released Work, which in my opinion was her best single. It
Work
showed off that
awesome
fake accent well. Her fucking spitting abilities had to be on point because she had to juggle a lot of fucking, her syllable game was on point. And honestly, I liked it more than Eminem's record. But, and this is gonna be the fucking shocker for those that listen, and you know my personal hatred and vendetta towards Drake, but I would honestly say Drake's album was probably the better hip-hop album. You know what I'm saying? I also saw the article that fucking Beyonce, of course, was best R&B bitch. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Illuminati. Then she's the only bitch that really out. No one kind of pays attention to anybody else. Cassie's trying to come back hard, but I mean, if Beyonce has an album, I mean, your attention is going to be in the shadows. In the back right now, if you're watching us live, is Iggy Azalea's work. And this is where she sounded so fake. But I'll be lying if I said I wasn't erect when she said,
I don't remember any of the vocals struggle.
I don't even need to remember now that I have the visuals. God. immigrant.
Shouts out to Iggy, because I did think that this was a dope record, because regardless of, like, this record was about the struggle, her struggle. And even if her struggle was just being a stripper and trying to clean toilets for a living and all that stuff, everybody's struggle.
You don't know the half. This shit is real.
So whatever your struggle is, like, embrace that shit. Like, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, this was a hard record, but
I think that's what brings people together, and what does resonate is that real shit. That's why you could have ugly, hideous looking bitches, and I'm gonna need to tag you if I could stumble across another video of this bitch. She and forgive me, because I'm a heavy set, you know what I'm saying, gut swinging motherfucker myself. But this girl though is in a fucking bikini with all her giblets. Just I swear to God, it's not sexy. I swear to God.
It's all bad.
But people do. She has like so many likes, so many subscribers, and it's just ridiculous,
man. It's the thirst, yo. It's the thirst trap, yo. And actually, that brings up a good point. I forgot to tell you, someone tried to get me caught up in a thirst trap a couple weeks ago. I meant to tell you about this, Popo.
Oh,
your boy, Arizona Verse, went to lunch at work and had to fill up, you know, the gas tank and all that. And I pull over to this little gas station, and so I'm pulling in. As I'm pulling in, I'm gonna pull up to the first one. So I'm gonna pass by the back one and go up to the head one. And this car is backing up, and it has Portland license plates on it. And I'm like, oh, they must be backing up into that one. So I'm gonna just go ahead and take this back one. And then I saw the Portland license plates, and I'm like, yo, it reminded me when me and the wife and when we had Kai was like 6-8 weeks old, we went up to her hometown back in Washington State. And
might as well been Missouri.
We drove through fucking like Oregon and like the whole Northwest, and like it was real beautiful. And so like when I saw the license plate, I was like, oh, I'm gonna tell that person that, oh, you know, I drove through that area, it's very beautiful and all that. Now, when the person got out of the car, it was a fancy car. It was a nice looking chick. I give it to her. She was a dime. She looked like she could have been a model. She had the sundress on, and she had the high heel, like platform sandals or whatever. She's a nice looking lady or whatever. And so I immediately was like, I'm not going to say anything about her license plate because she's going to think I'm hitting on her. So I was like, I'm going to just leave that shit alone. I'm going to just pump my gas. So,
like most bitches do.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't even want to get in the middle. I'm married. I don't want this to turn into nothing. So I'm sitting there. So I go to pumping the gas, and then I hear her in the background. Like making these noises. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And so I look over, and she's obviously having an issue at the pump. Like, I don't know what's going on, but she's having some type of issue. And so like I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on. So I go back to pumping my gas, and then so she's like still making noises. And then I like look over at her, and she's looking in my direction. And so she's obviously having an issue, and she's looking in my direction for me to come over there and help her. The bitch didn't ask for help. She just looked at me. So I just looked at her. I finished pumping my gas. I got in my car and I left. She didn't ask for help. She just stared at me, and just I just took it as the thirst trap of she's the damsel in distress, and is like, oh, I'm a pretty young lady and I'm having trouble. Come, you're automatically supposed to stop what you're doing and come help me. No,
yeah, you got a black servant.
You got the game fucked up. Now, if you ask me politely, I'll go over there. But she never asked, so I never offered my help. And I got in my car and left. And I was at the light, and the bitch was still stuck at the pump. And I'm pretty sure she trapped somebody else to come help her. But I don't know. She could still be at the pump for all honor.
I'm pretty sure someone jumped to it quick. The thirst is real, to where if you slip in, someone finna throw an interception. Now, what I wanted to kind of bring up also related getting caught slipping, but nobody really bothered to help, was that Mr. Busta Rhymes, I don't know what fucking show he was at, and sent you the link on FB. I don't know what fucking show he was at, but he was getting down. He was feeling it. He was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess trying to do like a booty swing. Mind you, this is old man. Not to say that you old once you're in your 40s, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's a big dude. Plus, he young.
He old man. Sure. He been in his game for a long time. Yeah. Hip hop has aged him.
Yeah, he was the leaders of the new school in the late 80s. So fuck, I mean. So if you think about it, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was sipping on this Cavassier, whatever the fuck that puffy song was. It was a Hennessy Cavassier. I think it was Cavassier. Anyways, past the Cavassier. And with the cigar, and sure as shit, I don't even know how the hell this even happened. Like, this must have been a Holy Spirit kicking the ass because he fucking flipped forward, son. And he had to go on Twitter afterwards, just telling everybody about how he's good. He's 100. He was feeling it.
Got the video for the people watching live. Yeah, he turned up crazy. Look at him, he's puffing on a cigar. Oh, look at that arm, yo. He turned. Yo, did he have a seizure, yo? What happened, yo? Yeah, he got that head. He giving it to him. And and it's confusing because he shook his head and then he like lost his balance and fell head first off the stage. Like there was no lead up, like nobody touched him. He didn't like stumble. It's just like two head nods, and on that third, that nigga just dove, yo.
I think he knew he was going in for a slider, so he just he's like, I'm just gonna dive head first. Like, I think there's no other way. What how else do you do it when you're falling into the pool? Fuck it, I'm gonna swim. And he had to give a couple tweets, I guess, to. Because I guess people actually were calling him, man. You know, we probably would have had fucking links on Facebook the next fucking day saying how, RIP. But I don't know.
He said, I salute all calls from family and friends, making sure I'm good. Just for the record, I'm super good. When you love what you do and you're passionate, and you're passionate about winning, you go hard. You say, we done fell off stages, son, and broke limbs while performing. Yes. Kept going. We stay on level 10. We always will be on 10. We just took one too far, two steps off the stage, and that's what it is. Shit happens. Yeah, you know that nigga was mad hyped as he was tweeting that shit. That nigga just
steroids
and all, just breaking the keypad as he just
break your neck. Come on,
break your neck.
Come
break
on,
your tits, nigga.
We go
break
off for Thanksgiving, nigga. Son. And on that note, I'm black.
Yeah. Allow me to reintroduce myself. I had to. It's your boy, Arizona Burns.
You finish up the line, son, bitch. So, Popo, what's happening?
And with me, my dude and co-host, So Popo. And this is the On Black He's Mexican podcast, which you should already know that. It is a podcast about nothing in motherfucking particular, just current events minus the bullshit. And
sprinkles.
Check us out at ibhmpodcast.com. And what can you do on ibhmpodcast.com, you ask?
I want to look at some shit. I want to click on some things.
Well, you can watch some live videos. You can check out our lovely dedications. You can follow our blog and keep up with all of the news from the topics we bring up on the show live through the ABHD section. And plus, there's much, much more fuckery. Now, speaking of fuckery,
go straight to
follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr. You can find that at a different state of black.tumblr.com. You can follow my motherfucking dude, Soul Popo, on his main source of social media fuckery, which is
pretty much anything Soul Popo. And I also fucks with the Tumblr, so please type in soulpapo.tumblr.com and fuck with me, tease me, message me, what have you. But besides all that, man, I guess late holiday greetings. You know what I'm saying?
Salute.
We just got Thanksgiving, and I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for the white man taking what the red man had, I wouldn't be in the world that I live in today. So thankful. Yeah, he had to do a damn thing.
And it's funny, I don't know why I was mildly offended at work. I was, they're doing the Thanksgiving, hanging stuff up and all that. And so, you know, of course it's Thanksgiving, so you got the pictures of the pilgrims up, the happy pilgrims, and then you got the pictures of the pretty Native Americans and all that. And I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't see no slaves up on this wall. Like, if y'all want to keep it 100 with the times, I don't see any slaves anywhere. I don't know what's up with that. So
Where they at though?
But how was your Thanksgiving, Bobo?
I couldn't complain. I woke up Thanksgiving Day, and I was like, and they gave us the opportunity to put some OT in at the main gig. I was like, oh, I'll do this. It was so damn slow because nobody wanted to order drugs on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? The business was slow. So I got a fucking grub. I don't know how many different times. I had to introduce a lady friend over to some friends because, you know, we're at that point of stages where, you know, you got to combine worlds. I'm saying played hooky at the other job. I might even play hooky today. Lord knows. I don't know what kind of day it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? You had the, and I kind of wanted to bring, I wanted to come up afterwards because the biggest thing for me, as far as what has my attention, and whether it's just, you know what I'm saying, coveting or, you know, actually looking at shit, is Black Friday, yo. Do we not associate Black Friday with Thanksgiving? Don't we fucking live in a gluttonous fucking fuel day and then fucking ravage and, you know what I'm saying? And
but real quick, before we get into Black Friday, we'll get into Black Friday. But, okay. I do want to bring up one Thanksgiving thing that I think just overall is funny, because for those who are listening to the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast for the first time, this is your boy Arizona Verse, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am in a interracial marriage. So we've lost a couple viewers, a couple listeners. That was too much for them. They stepped out. Like, whoa, that's too ahead of the times. Like, oh, let me step back. I'm still in the 50s. It
breaks my heart every time I see a white woman out of my clutches.
Oh, but it was funny because Thanksgiving started for us Wednesday night over at the wife's over at the and I always get. How you know I grew up in the motherfucking hood. Like, I always get in-laws and step like mixed up because like no one was married in my upbringing. So I was at the in-laws house Wednesday night, and we're out in Gilbert, and you know, we're eating Thanksgiving dinner, and it's just a nice peaceful Gilbert Thanksgiving with
macaroni?
I don't know because I don't eat macaroni, so like I go right for the meat. So I got meat stuffing, and I like ignore everything else. So I don't know.
I didn't have any macaroni. That's why I was hoping you would have had some macaroni for me, but you ain't black.
But so we had that night and good times and all that, and then the next day we go to on Thanksgiving go to my grandmother's house, and my grandmother stays in South Phoenix, and you know, back, you know, where I grew up at. And it's funny because we show up, pull up, and we get out the car. And as soon as we get out the car, some nigga come around with one of them 60 Chevys, and one of those 1960 Chevys, and he got his system cranking. And I'm like, oh, yep, I'm back in the hood. And it's hilarious, show just the difference. And just
nigga, I got two 15s.
Oh, like every car that passed by had they system thumping. And then just chilling with, you know, the uncles, and like my pops was there too. And just, you know, chilling with the grown man on the south side of Phoenix, and just how much different that experience was from the one the night before. It was fun though. So yeah, embrace both cultures. That's how you got to do it, yo.
Truly Thanksgiving to me though, real talk, it's just being around my family, you know, after we, you know, ate all pig style. Just laying on my belly, you know what I'm saying? And we're either, you know, my auntie, she's big into like the Black Friday shit, so she's looking at ads, and me is just kind of just staring at the PlayStation and the Wii U, and you know what I'm saying, just there, you know what I'm saying, making in dots. Oh, y'all getting this? Well, I do know a few things about this, and just blah 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 blah. But just laying doing nothing, to me, I'm so thankful for that. Not have to be doing shit. Want to do nothing.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for that. I don't know.
I'm thankful that our Philly correspondent Trav is chiming in, and he chimed in and said, "Don't eat mac and cheese. What a fraud." I said, yo, I don't fuck with cheese, yo. I'm not a cheese person. Like, I take some cheese on some Mexican stuff. Outside of that, I don't fucks with it, yo.
Yo, all I know is that, dude, I end up shitting myself every time I eat cheese. That don't stop me. I ain't no quitter, B.
I'm lactose intolerant, yo. Check 1, 2. And now moving along to the day after Thanksgiving, motherfucking Black Friday.
Motherfucking Black Friday. And what I laugh even more, that on fucking Black, it doesn't even start on Black Friday, bro. You know, it actually starts on Thanksgiving. And that's why you have so many, I don't know if you kept up with the whole bullshit at Walmart, the fact that they make them work Thanksgiving and they're, you know, bitching
Walmart
and complaining.
Walmart is the devil. Oh, but man, is shit cheap up there, yo. God damn. Oh, I hate them devils. Go ahead.
But, oh, I mean, but my whole thing, and yes, they should probably get paid more for the bullshit they got to go through. That's a whole business thing. That's not for us to fucking complain and fucking and fix. What I was going to bring up was that it's that's the world you live in. It's kind of like being a police officer and complaining that it's fucking dangerous. I mean, that's the shit you signed up for. I mean, Walmart, you know what I'm saying? This is the shit you signed up for. You retail, bitch. Of course you're going out to work some 12 hours. You know what I'm saying? And cover for the manager because his ass ain't there because he with his family celebrating Thanksgiving. Like, that's the fucking world we live in. I don't know. You busy writing verse?
Oh, no, I'm listening, though.
It wasn't me too long of a writing. Like, oh, this nigga's going in. Okay, I guess I'll get to typing because he won't shut up. No. That's all I had to say. We're still fighting on Facebook about not having some fucking cheese. No turkey and no cheese.
Yeah, we still over here arguing about Thanksgiving meals and shit, yo. I don't fuck with cheese, yo. But fucking... Yeah, Walmart is off the chain. Like, they are kind of, like, just... fucked up and all whatever, but yeah, I refuse to go shopping on Thanksgiving and I refuse to go shopping on Black Friday. Like, I get that the deals are like that, but motherfuckers is crazy and it's sad. Like, I'm fucking America, and I'm trying not to I'm trying to keep it lighthearted because we got some serious shit later on in the show. But it's
cereal.
A damn real shame cereal. That we had the Ferguson protests with the fucking goddamn cops shooting tear gas at these people with the fucking season's greetings up in the background, and then several days later we go into Black Friday where it's okay to run and knock people the fuck over to get these sales for this capitalistic America that we live in. Like, it's just
I didn't want to have to push in this direction, but since you brought it up, I have to fucking say, and this kind of goes into the retardation of what is Black Friday. But when they announced that whatchamacallit, what's his name? What's that police officer that they're trying to indict? Yeah. And I shot you the link. I didn't know how big of a deal it was going to be. But I kid you not, that fucking very day, my white buddy, racist as hell. And I love how white people love to say that it's not about race. White people love to say that shit. But anyways,
yes,
invited me over, you know what I'm saying, to roll up and to watch the riots. Like, I kid you not. Like, me up. Like, it was, that's why they said it wasn't a surprise, just, you know what I'm saying, just disappointment. But it's like, we knew that we were going to go just retarded. And you know what I'm saying, we, assuming I'm black and all the craziness were just black folk. Yo, when they ran into liquor stores, this is why I fucking posted that comment on Facebook saying, Thanksgiving, thank God, if it wasn't for Mike Brown's sacrifice, motherfuckers wouldn't have their blunt wraps for the night. You know what I'm saying? And motherfuckers were stumbling out that bitch with fucking 40 ounces and fucking all sorts of accoutrement.
Yo, but and we'll touch on it more later on the show because we got a lot with that coming up. But
okay, I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
Motherfuckers, no, sometimes you got to let it off.
They couldn't wait to get them deals, boy. All right, so back to Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And there was a few shootings that fucking day, and a lot of them were love scorn ex-lovers fucking trying to get it back at folk. And the one link that I showed you was the one in Nordstrom. I know there's other ones too that were popping off, so I forget.
But I'm sharing the screen on this one, Chicago woman. So yeah, Chicago woman shot by ex-boyfriend at Nordstrom on Black Friday dies.
They don't even got deals.
The family, I know, for real. You went up there and got shot paying for some shit full price. Like, that's fucked up, yo.
30 minutes before closing, by the way, which kind of was a little bit of a, shit. You gonna do it as soon as I, before I even finish. I didn't even get home, take shit, properly eat.
Family and Nadia Azeldine, 22, said her estranged boyfriend, Marcus D, 31, had constantly abused her both physically and mentally. The couple broke up a year ago and D shot her in the crowded store Friday before shooting himself. Hot damn. So, once again, another shooting, unfortunately, in Chicago.
Chirac? Just add more to it. I don't even have an excitement anymore when I see these things.
It's interesting too, not to go into a Chicago thing, but shouts out to Juan Epstein podcast, one of my favorite podcasts as a hip hop head. And No ID was on there, and he was talking about coming up with Common, and he was talking about how like Chicago, like it's always been like that. Like it's getting a lot of press now, but he was like, Chicago's been like that since like the fucking 20s. Like it's always been violent, and the lot, there's just a lot going on in that environment. But for some reason, the media now wants to focus a lot on it. And then there's also the whole thing, the drug wars and all that. After that, Kingpin got busted a few years ago. Vice covered it. But yeah, it's just, it's kind of wild. Like it's coming to the point where I'm so desensitized by shooting and the word Chicago that it like it doesn't even trigger like an emotion. It's just like, oh yeah. Just like when I hear white kids school shooting, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's a cold, cold world that we live in.
And I think in that cold, in that ignorance, you know, we must fuel ourselves with knowledge. And I guess to kind of just still piggyback off the whole Thanksgiving thing, Black Friday, and how, you know, we should add to our local, you know, local businesses and contribute so we can, you know, build our little local economy. Fucking Obama. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucking lazy ass Obama, not doing shit for the United States. Went to a bookstore with his kids, and what do you call it? And I laugh because any bit of time that he's out there, of course, they're gonna hit him with you know, cutting questions. And naturally, I mean, motherfucker, I'm out here shopping. Like the fuck? Are you laughing? Are you dying back there? Verse, are you okay?
Okay. I'm giving you the stage. I'm listening.
No, I don't even think I want that today. So, you know what I'm saying? Let's fight for this mic. Let's wrap this up. I'm standing on my feet. I want to lay on my belly again. You know what I'm saying? Let's wrap it up.
No, but I know. I guess moving into the main topic of the show, unfortunately.
Oh, no. You didn't want to comment on Obama's daughters? No?
Oh, no. I mean, and same thing with Obama. It's just like Obama, I don't know. Obama went out into the world and people were like, I don't know, it's funny because it's like as a president you can never do the right thing. And so like I'm pretty sure while he was at the bookstore, I'm pretty sure it's people tweeting about, why aren't you fixing the national debt? You're out there trying to get some fucking books for your Negro daughter. Like, I don't know, it's just, I don't know, it's another thing. I've just been,
we should never give
them
the right to read.
Oh, it's just America.
And I forget if it was Blitz or if it was Travi who had posted a link on the web of, as a matter of fact, I think it was you. You brought up somebody's tweet. I don't know if it was David Banner's tweet about how when they gave the slaves, they took away reading and language and what otherness, but they kept Christianity in it.
Yeah, and David Banner, I got the quote up here. Yeah, David Banner had tweeted, and I normally don't, like, I'll get deep on Tumblr, but normally on Facebook, I keep all that shit out of Facebook because, I don't know, everybody got an opinion on Facebook, but nobody got the educated opinion on Facebook.
Right.
But I had posted this David Banner tweet. It says, if everything of substance was taken away from a slave, reading, culture, language, etc., why was Christianity allowed? Message. And actually, shouts out to one of my uncles that chimed in, and he said to keep him submissive to the teaching of his owner's beliefs. And I was like, yep, you got it. I was like, So just think about that, people. I'm just saying. But moving along to other situations. We are in the wake of Darren Wilson was not indicted. And this kind of brings up a handful of different things. One in particular is there was a flash mob of protesters that stopped the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in NYC in honor of Mike Brown. I'm going to throw this up in the background. And so, So apparently, a large group of protesters began organizing this week using social media and the hashtag Stop the Parade. Their goal was to interrupt today's Macy's Thanksgiving Parade in order to bring attention to the Ferguson grand jury not to indict Officer Darren Wilson. And it's interesting because a bunch of people, like, they were even filming people getting handcuffed, and they're like, yo, we just protesting. And people were handcuffed, or the cops are handcuffing the protesters, getting them out of there and all that. And it's funny because, like, on one of the videos, some woman yelled, like, what about the children? And they were like, well, that's the point. The black kid got killed. That's the point. The children. But it is what it is.
And then he ended up resigning. Was it yesterday? They didn't indict him, so I'm not too sure. I'd rather, honestly, because shit like this is what kind of fuels and pushes out the recent story of the one in Ohio. Was it Cleveland? What was the little boy's name? Yes. I mean, we'll switch it later, I guess. But it all intertwines. And I know is, it pisses me off that we can make a spectacle of this. And I don't know whether to throw this into the white sphere, but I know there is this kid named Jared Pendleton, who's actually in Goodyear here in Arizona. And in 2008, he was part of a hit and run. And when this happened, the cop who had did this, who was alleged to have run him over, was a Goodyear police officer named Brad Hardin.
Oh, okay.
And it pisses me off that, and almost like in a white race sort of thing, because that wasn't a big deal. And this guy, there's also rumor of him being picked up and, you know, kind of being under the radar because he's fucked up twice before on driving violations. So we know this nigga can drive. But they didn't make a big deal. I don't know who he knows that kind of kept him a slip under, and they settled out of court. So it wasn't a big deal. But when we see this, though, and like I said, we throw the race card out there, and it's going to aggravate and sting the buttholes of motherfuckers. And it upsets me that, you know, when the riots thing were happening, and they're looting, mind you, not being peaceful, looting. They let those fucking motherfuckers run a gamut.
Yeah,
here we are, peaceful activists, you know what I'm saying? Of course, yeah, they're probably being annoying with their fucking cameras, asking questions. They're probably provoking the fucking cops, to be honest with you. But here we have video of them being, you know what I'm saying, you know.
And it's interesting because I know, and this is following, like, one of the things with, like, the social media realm of the world is you get to see, like, multiple sides of the story. So you get the side where this is what the media is presenting to the world, and then you get the side of this is what the social media people, the people who are there, the side that they're seeing too. And it was interesting because I saw a lot of pictures on like Tumblr and stuff of protesters stopping or protecting shops and different things like that. And I saw different things of like the people who were looting were being out of towners and different things like that. And it was interesting how like the media didn't like address any of that stuff, like any of the things where it was like, oh, these are out of towners who are doing that, doing this. And they didn't like bring it up in the media, as opposed to like when there was that riot that we covered a couple months ago, the white kids at that one college school, and how there was riots there. And then it's all about how like the media spins it. And in the case with those Caucasian kids at that college or whatever, it was like, oh, they were out of towners. So like, oh, you know, it wasn't really those kids' fault. It was because these other kids came and they made things bad. But oh, it was just white kids being crazy. But then it's just interesting because anytime it's black people, it's like, oh, look at these crazy niggers. Oh, man, we got to shoot them. We got to put them down because these niggers is crazy. And it's like, and I think one of the biggest issues, and I think it's one issue that a lot of people can't put into words, but I think the biggest issue that a lot of black people go through is being treated as a monolith, that all of us think one way and all of us do the one thing and all of us are together as one. And when you have a situation like that, when there's looters and when people can't determine the peaceful protesters from the looters because they're all African-American, it's like, oh, well, they're all doing the same thing. That's how black people are. And it's just, I don't know. Yeah, Pumpkin Festival in New Hampshire. Shouts out to Trav. That was the one. Just all I would say is Google the Pumpkin Festival in New Hampshire and read what happened at that riot at that white school and just see how the media spent it of, oh, it's just kids being kids. But then when you have this kid, like this 12-year-old kid in Cleveland who got shot, and when the guy called in, he perceived this 12-year-old boy as a 20-year-old man. And I think that's one of the biggest issues is when it's white kids, it's like, and once again, this isn't coming from a hateful place. I'm married to a white woman. I got white, half white boys. So this is coming from what I would believe to be an educated opinion. But it's the whole thing of when, you know, white kids do something, it's like, oh, those silly white kids. But when black kids do it, oh, death and destruction. You can't give them a second chance. They're going to kill people. Stop them now. So
I remember seeing that, and it was funny to me, but it was saying, yeah, when it's a black kid, oh, you know, there were thugs in Atlanta, you know, and if it's a white kid, oh, well, then they're ill. They need help. They need treatment. You know, we got to figure out what's causing this. It's almost as if we've come to accept that niggas is crazy and we have cause and effect for such shit. I don't know.
It's interesting because The Slate did an article and it was about how news headlines have developed over the last 100 years, and they were showing how every time it's a white victim or a white person who's the aggressor, if you will, it's always painted kind of in a more positive light, like they did this, but this is kind of the reason why they did this. But then they were showing how even going back 100 years, it's like crazy, deranged Negro had to get put down. And they were showing how over the course of the past 100 years, they overtly, they would just be like, oh yeah, crazy, deranged Negro, you gotta put him down because he's crazy. They're so much stronger and bigger than us. And so anytime they do something wild, you gotta put him down and kill him. And it was this whole way that they were portraying black people in the headlines. And over the course of the past 100 years, it's not as, it's a lot more subtle nowadays, but it's kind of the same thing of, oh, crazy black, and once again, Mike Brown. It was like they were so fucking happy when they got that video of him stealing those blunts. Oh my God. Oh, that was.
That's why we looted, though.
That was the motherfucking wet dream. Like, oh, and we caught the nigga stealing cigarillo. See, he had to die. He had to die.
All right, but in all fairness, though, this little 12-year-old kid from Ohio, was he fucking not swinging around a goddamn gun, aiming it at people? Looked like he was going pow, pow, poo, poo, whatever the fuck.
And actually,
do brothers not age well? How can we not know that a 12-year-old wasn't a 20-year-old?
Oh, I look at this
Muggsy Bogues looking motherfucker. How did we not know?
Yo, so to bring this back, fucking the Cleveland story. You brought this up on the last episode, and
I sure did. And at the time, we didn't know race, but I knew it was a little black kid. So why the fuck are we bringing this up? We wouldn't bring it up if it was a little white kid. We just wouldn't.
Oh.
The opposite of racism.
Oh, but it's fucking killed his page, yo.
And one thing that tripped me out too, the dispatcher, because when the guy called in, he actually had told the dispatcher, hey, this is probably a fake gun. He mentions it twice. The fact that he brought it up twice was gave no excuse to fucking slipping over the head the first fucking time. It should have resonated. This is a motherfucking, looks like it's a fake gun, but still, like I said, he's pointing it at people. And he's a little nigga on the streets waving around, scaring people. It scared the shit out of me, is what he said. So could you fucking imagine? And when this was, when dispatched this shit over out to the street, she didn't mention it once that it may be a fake gun. Just that there's a black male in the public area swinging around a gun.
And that's basically what it breaks down to, because yeah, his name was Tamir Rice, and he was a 12-year-old boy killed by a police officer. And the video shows they shot this kid within 2 seconds of pulling up. And so, like, the thing that is crazy to paint the entire timeline, this kid had a BB gun?
Yeah, it was a BB gun.
Okay. So it was
a real fucking gun.
Yeah, it was a replica BB gun. And so he was out at a park, and he had the gun, and he was walking around, and he was posing with it, and he was doing different things. And he, at one time, he like kind of aimed it at somebody walking past him. And the whole time, there was a guy sitting at a like a bench watching, and he called into the cops, and he's like, "Yeah," he's like, "there's some black guy, and he's waving a gun. It's probably fake, but he's waving a gun at people." And then later on, yeah, he says it a second time about like, "Yeah, it's probably fake, but he looks 20, and it's probably fake, but he's scaring the shit out of people." And then the dispatcher called it in and was like, "Yo, black man with a gun." And then the cops showed up, and within 2 seconds of showing up, they shot and killed the person. And then, oh, it's a 12-year-old with a gun. And the problem, shouts out to Charlemagne the God. I like to, whenever I hear something brilliant, I like to not take credit for it. I like to give credit where credit's due. Charlemagne
the God.
Well, no. Charlemagne the God. Shouts out to Charlemagne the God, who I think summed it up best. He was like, "We need to raise our kids to be careful, because they're not giving kids second chances anymore." Mm-hmm. Like, what, and I testify to it too. The Mike Brown situation with Stealing Cigarellos. What fucking, and maybe this is a culture thing, but what kid that grew up on the South Side didn't steal some blunt wraps, or, you know, some that shit that regular fucking, not, and I don't want to say regular, that's shit that degenerate kids that have nothing better to do, they steal and they do certain things. But it's like, when you demonize them, oh, look, armed robbery, oh, they're, if they had guns, they would have been shooting too. And it's like, you're not giving these kids a second chance. It's like, the second you see them do something wrong, it's like, oh, this is the reason why they need to die. And I think the other main issue, and this is what a lot of people are missing with the Ferguson thing, and with the Trayvon thing, and with the Oscar Grant thing, and with the Tamir Rice thing, the biggest issue is that when there's a situation, and, you know, criminals are criminals, but when there's a situation, and when there's a white criminal, the cops apprehend them. When there's a black criminal, the cops shoot at them. That's what the biggest issue is.
But let's say this. So the cop did tell him, freeze, stop, whatever the fuck. The fucking kid pointed the shit at his fucking thing, and, you know what I mean?
Who, what, the 12-year-old?
Yeah, this 20-year-old, 12-year-old.
This 20-year-old, 12-year-old. I just want to know how all that got asked within 2 seconds. The video is literally 2 seconds long.
All I know, there was pointing, and what's even funnier is the fact that they were given a description of a 20-year-old black male, and obviously what they came up to was a 12-year-old, but still,
yo, and
oh,
that's
he
the
must
thing.
Be 20? Did you not look at the motherfucker? How'd you find him?
And
he must
that's
have
the thing.
20.
I won't get into the propaganda, like a lot of people, and I will give this to, unfortunately, to white supremacists, because I hate when the media does this. But when they'll take a Trayvon picture, or they'll take Trayvon when Trayvon died, and they won't find regular pictures. What they do is find polar opposites. You find the worst pictures he ever took, and you find the best pictures of him ever, and you put those out. And that's the reason why it's confusing to the general public, because you're not painting a proper picture. You're just giving two complete opposite sides of the story, because you want people to go in one of two directions. You don't want them to actually think about the fucking shit. And it's the same thing with Mike Brown. It was like, in the whole, this entire time, this entire thing was fucking strategic, where the day they announced the Mike Brown name and all that, they also released the video. Like, it's everything that they've done, it's been strategic. And with the whole that, hey, we're gonna call a state of emergency, and even though they were peaceful protesters for 90 days, they called a state of emergency. It was like, spoiler alert, I know what you guys are about to announce this week. But real quick, before we get into the Mike Brown thing, there was even one other story that came up. And this is another one where it's like, people, I think, will take one or two sides, but I think the story is a little bit more elaborate than that. And this story is the story of a cop who fired a gun at an unarmed Florida man who was speeding to get asthma medicine to his daughter. Did you hear about this story?
Actually, I did not, no.
Okay.
Wait, this happened a while back or just literally
over the weekend? No, this literally happened like the day after... it was Tuesday. It was the day of the Ferguson verdict, which also came out during prime time. Think about that, people.
Yo. But
anyway, real quick, though, before we get into that, because there's so much more to talk about that. But a Florida sheriff's deputy shot Tuesday and almost shot at this guy, but just missed him when he realized that the guy wasn't armed. The officer, JC Garcia, mistakenly believed the driver who led him on a brief pursuit was armed, so he drew and fired his weapon at about 9:15. The Jackson sheriff officer managed to wave his gun off immediately. And this is funny too, because it's always how the media spins it. So as you see, I'm only three paragraphs into it, and the first three paragraphs is about how this cop tried not to shoot this guy. Like, it hasn't gotten to the facts of like what exactly happened. It's just like, oh, let me use three paragraphs to prepare you about why this cop didn't shoot this guy. Just let's make this clear. But anyway, the cop was following a green Ford Focus driven by this man, Brian Dennison, who was 29. And Dennison, after he spotted the car, sped through a parking lot to avoid a traffic signal. Though we've all done that. Have you done that before? You gone through a parking lot to get around a traffic signal?
Daily.
I won't go as far as saying daily, but I will say that I have done this. But anyway, so the cops saw this, and the officer said that the car had expired tags. And then so he said that the guy drove away from an automatic teller machine. So, of course, you see a black man go through a parking lot. So, obviously, he just robbed a fucking bank. So, I need to go stop this nigga. And so, Garcia turned his lights on after the driver ran a stop sign. So, okay, the guy did break a law. And so, the cop turned on his lights. But Dennison did not stop and nearly caused a crash after driving the wrong way into a traffic lane. So, now this is starting to turn into, you know, a serious situation. So, Dennison pulled into an apartment complex and got out of his vehicle. And Garcia initially thought he spotted a weapon and fired his own. So the second the guy got out the car, he shot at him. Now, Dennison wasn't injured, but he came out and witnesses say he put his hands in the air. And he explained that he explained to the 5-year veteran that he was rushing home to get an inhaler to a 6-year-old daughter who was suffering an asthma attack. The daughter heard the gunshot and was frightened, as, you know, all this shit is happening in their front yard or whatever. The cop sees what's going on. He helps the guy get up there and get the inhaler to his daughter, so on and so forth. Happy ending, if you will. But if this goes back to, once again, cops, when they see black people, they shoot first and ask questions last. This dude did break the law, so if he has to go to jail or get arrested or get a ticket or whatever for all the shit that he did, I'm not saying because he's black, it's all racism. No, this nigga deserves some, you know, some slaps on the wrist or whatever you guys do to criminals who break these different traffic laws and all that. But the issue is, the second the fucking cop got out, he just shot. The Cleveland boy, the second the cop got out, he shot. Mike Brown, the second he got out, he shot. Trayvon, the second he walked down the street, he shot. Just goddamn, can y'all ask some questions before y'all start shooting? Just goddamn. Fuck. It's just frustrating as an African American.
Do you not know that you're a threat?
That's what it is, yo. And that's
you
why
you intimidate, and I must react accordingly.
And that's why I blame hip hop music. I blame motherfucking reality TV. I blame all these. You have all these fucking negative images of black people on TV, and it's urban culture, but it's urban culture being promoted and pushed and paid for by people not within the culture. And then so then you have these stereotypes, and you have these situations where everyone starts being afraid of black people, and then you have the whole thing of the cops, the second they show up, they're gonna get to bucking at niggas. Yo, the fucking Aurora, Colorado shooter, the fucking Batman dude, how many people did he kill?
He was framed though.
How Every people that he killed, the nigga had assault rifles and shit. He got apprehended.
All these weapons were mysteriously inserted into his apartment unopened. They didn't even have his prints on it, so it was a setup, son.
It's wild, yo. It's wild.
That's why they deserve trials, but they get drugged up and they fuck it up anyway. But
what?
Gary, I don't know if you saw the video here. They call it crumping. It looks like they're ready to beat each other. But apparently they're all brothers, and they do this shit for hours on end at the Negro clubs. And they start to keep drinking until 2. Crumping. They attacking. And, get out of my car. I know what kind of new jitsu shit you're going to do swinging out there. Mm-mm. Ain't no chances. No fucks given. Shoot on sight.
And shouts out to Trav, who said, how many white mass murderers get taken alive? All of them. And that's the other thing. There was another story that came out that Tuesday, and it was, and it might have been fake. And that's the reason why it's not even a main article, because I didn't get to fully investigate it. But there was a video of a guy that was waving a gun at, he was at like a park. It was a white guy. He had like a gun on him, and he got apprehended and, you know, arrested and all that. But then that was kind of like the thing on Tumblr. It was like, wait, but you apprehended him and he had a gun and he was waving it and there's kids there. If that was a black person, they would have got shot at like immediately, like, oh, dangerous Negro with a gun. Kill him. Got to put him down. So I don't know. But I did want to show this video. I thought this was interesting. And shouts out to Worldstar, who is the devil, but whatever. You get some good viral shit on here every so often. And have you seen this video of it's an animated reenactment of both stories in the Mike Brown shooting?
No.
Oh. Okay. So they put together this animation, and the first video is from the perspective of the witnesses' accounts of what happened. And so this is an animation of what it looked like if what the witnesses says happened. Then the very next one is what it would look like if, or from the perspective of what Darren Wilson said. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this down a little. I'm going to play this. Can you see the video?
Yeah, I can see it.
All right, so the car pulls up, and it pulls up on the boys walking, and he says to the boys something, and the kids are there. So Mike Brown and his homeboy. So the officer opens the car door, and he's real close to the kids, and so the car bumps Mike Brown, and then it's a big guy, so it bounces back. The cop reaches through the window, grabs Mike Brown's shirt, an argument ensues, and a gunshot goes off. So the gunshot goes off at close range. Then the two boys take off running, and the one with the dreads or whatever, hides behind a car. Mike Brown runs through the streets until he gets shot in the back of his arm. When he's shot in the back of his arm, he stops running and he turns around and he drops to his knees and he puts his arms up in the air in a submissive position or whatever. The cop approaches him and the cop continues shooting and he shoots him. And Mike Brown is dead. Now, that was the animation for the people watching live of what happened, the animation of Mike Brown's. And I can't say Mike Brown's perspective, but the witnesses of Mike Brown. And so now then the second one is from Darren Wilson's perspective. This is what he said.
So this is what the math has calculated, right, as far as where the gunshot was entered from. And
yeah, this is including that. Yeah.
This is a matter of perimeters, though, so depending on.
Yeah. And so now this is
There could have been a magic bullet, though. JFK. Magic bullet.
JFK proved that there's magic bullets out there. So who knows? Mike Brown could have got shot once. It could have just ricocheted all off that concrete and the sidewalk and the street lamps. And just Mike Brown, unfortunately, was in a mathematical hot spot. That could have been what it was. Just Ricochet City. I'm just saying. But
just keep that in mind as we now see what probably actually happened.
So now this is Darren Wilson's take. So then he comes up to the kids, or he drops up on Mike Brown and the boy. He sees the cigarillos in Mike Brown's hand. And then so he looks at him, he says something to him. Mike Brown immediately runs to the car, hops in the window, and tries to go for the gun. The fight ensues. He gets punched a couple of times. A shot is fired inside of the car.
He's going for that dick. He wants the gun.
And then that's the end of it. It doesn't, like, his testimony doesn't describe fully, or well, I won't even get into it, but the rest of the shit afterwards, the demon Hulk Hogan eyes, I saw that fucking. And then, anyway, yeah, so, and then this is where Mike Brown had got shot, according to the autopsy. So he got shot six times. As you see, hand, arm, and all that. Three bullets were recovered. Twice in the head, so one in the crown of the head, one in the eye. One, his head was down, and that's the reason why he said it was the demon Hulk Hogan run. Apparently, Mike Brown, who was 285 pounds, dove and ran like he was doing a spear or a fucking a football tackle.
It was Goldberg's fucking spear.
Yeah, he was doing a Goldberg spear, so that's the reason why he had to shoot him in the top of his head. But then the second one went through his eye, and this is disgusting. Went through his eye, went through his cheek, and then broke his collarbone or whatever. But and the fatal shot was apparently at close range. So the story, I mean, it's still murky, and I think the my biggest issue, like I am upset at the whole situation just off the simple fact of that. It didn't go to trial. Like, if they went to trial and then he got let go, I wouldn't have been surprised. Like, because the main issue with a lot of these cases, and this is when this brings up the story of who's going to police the police, is that the biggest issue is that a shooting happens and the cops don't properly get all the evidence together the day of the crime, and then you can't indict anybody later because you didn't get the proper evidence. The day of this Mike Brown shooting, they left the kid there for 4 hours. They didn't take pictures of him because the camera they had, the batteries were dead. And I asked, why didn't they go up to the store that Mike Brown just robbed for the cigarillos and see if that guy had batteries? Maybe they could have put those in their camera. And apparently no one had their cell phones to take pictures either. So it just was what Darren Wilson said versus what the witnesses said. So, of course, in a court of law, or, you know, with a grand jury and a man's life on the line, of course, they're going to go with what the cop said. So I'm not surprised, but like, it should have at least went to trial. That's all I'm going to say. At least.
Totally feel that. The fact that they didn't is what leaves me questioning. And we can't take any chances, which is what I'm assuming is what it came down to. And depending on whatever else would have been tied in, this is where truly, knowledge is power. And if you can probably take a fucking Uno thing and knock every fucking thing down, you may be made a little bit. They asked him to resign, whether that's a big enough deal because of the threats that were happening. I'm pretty fucking sure he's going to be well off. We're not going to fucking see him working at a goddamn grocery store unless we see him working security at the Walmart.
He's going to be tight, the top flight security at motherfucking shit. Walmart chasing
people
are
known
down.
Not to fuck around at that store.
I do ask you the question, though. Do we see another Zimmerman? Do we see another case of where for the next 18 months this dude keeps getting in trouble?
What's going to happen? Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm predicting now 3 more shootings of the shit. So obviously we've got one already in the way with Cleveland. There's going to be 2 more after that. And they're going to all be ostracized and outcast. And they're going to band together. And they're going to be a colony of mighty for forgotten men, you know what I'm saying? Similar to Jesus, of course, he was begotten and whatnot, you know, crucified at the stake. And they gotta come and they're gonna fucking probably save the world, in honesty.
Are you saying that George Zimmerman is Jesus and he's about to start 12 disciples and they're all gonna have 12 caliber or fucking weapons and they're gonna be the 12 disciples going around shooting Negroes, cleansing the world?
The same way Jesus said in the Bible, I didn't say it, you said it. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but there's something along those lines. I didn't say it. But you know, because that is the truth. Those who know the truth know what the truth is.
Yes, sir. And before we get out of here, one more thing. Actually, a couple more things. Or one more thing before we get to the favorite thing. Yo, I came across this article. It's the history of policing in the United States. And I'm a man who I see patterns and things, and I'm real big on like origins and all that. So anytime when like something happens, I want to know the origin of it. I want
to
know.
You're
like,
to the root kind of guy, and that's what
I'm to
like.
The root. Like, and that's the reason why. Like, anytime something happens, like, okay, I want to know where it started. And so came across this article, and I'll put the link up on the IBHM podcast website. But it's the development of policing in the United States closely followed development of policing in England. And it talks about how the early colonies, how policing took forms and all that. And it also talked about how these modern police organizations share similar characteristics. They were publicly supported in a bureaucratic form, and police officers were full-time employees, not community volunteers or case-by-case free retainers. Departments had permanent and fixed rules and procedures, and employment as police officers was continuous. And so this is, you know, the modern breakdown of it. Now, it's funny because when you go down to the South, the modern development of policing in the South was a development American policy forward. It was a different path. The genesis of modern police organization in the South is the slave patrol. The first former slave patrol was created in the Carolina colonies in 1704. Slave patrols had three primary functions: to chase down, apprehend, and return to their owners runaway slaves, to provide a form of organized terror to deter slave revolt, and to maintain or form a discipline of slave workers who were subject to summary justice outside of the law if they violated any plantation rules. So it's funny, this is what the concern is in the South, and it still is going on in across America, is that the police different races differently, and they still police African Americans in a slave patrol where you chase down and apprehend these motherfuckers to bring back the property, if you will. If they start organizing, you need to provide terror. You had the whole fucking thing with, and I'm still trying to get a clear-cut timeline of if the car got burned down or if the cops shot the tear gas first. There's a lot of conflicting reports with the riots in Ferguson, if the tear gas got shot first.
Another thing too, when the fuck did that happen? Where the fuck's the cop? Is he chilling at Dunkin's? You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
I think that shit was given. That shit was given to fucking make it look as ridiculous as it did.
Yo, they, and once again, like I said, they called the state of emergency so they can get the National Guard out there. So then during prime time, they could announce that, and that's when the ratings, that's when everybody's watching TV. So let's make sure we do this. We get some ratings off this bitch. And they announced it during prime time. And then the cops were there to basically tell those protesters, now go home. Like, get over it. Go home. That's why the National Guard and all the cops and all those military weapons are there for, to tell those people to stop protesting and then go home. And that's what's causing the protesting and keep going, because it's like, you're missing the point. We're upset because y'all keep shooting at us. We want y'all to stop shooting at us. And what do you keep doing? You keep shooting at us. So, I don't know. Jim Crow 2.0, maybe? I don't know. I don't know.
The fact that, okay, prime time, I understand. That's when the ratings are up. And then you kind of have a good
bang.
Idea.
It was a flashbang, not tear gas. Shots out to Trav.
Yeah, it's something to get these kooks' attentions. And of course, and you're in fucking in the night, like, you know what I'm saying? You're in the crevices of shit. What can you fucking do? I mean, obviously, they didn't fucking bother stopping any of the shit, so it would have been too many. But wouldn't that have been a healthy little haul? Wouldn't that have been a good little boost for the quota of having to get motherfuckers in? We got them right in the act. We got video. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Let's throw them in a fucking cage. You know what I'm saying? Gather them all up and handle it however they handle drunk people, you know, coming out of bars or little holding tanks. I mean, they didn't want to. They wanted to showcase the fucking the animals that were in these motherfuckers. And even when CNN was broadcasting, they had security with them, so they were well protected in safe little areas. But you know, let's show you where this shit's popping off at. I don't know how well staged that shit was.
All I will say is that the cops can continue to shoot at black people the way they're shooting, whatever. I just ask, can we start shooting at women and children and white people and everybody else too? Like, if the cops
don't...
That's
honor you don't cross.
Yo, if the cops, if we're moving to a police state where the cops is just going to be bucking, can you just buck at everybody? Can it just not be just the black man that y'all are shooting at constantly? Can it be free range on everybody so then everybody can get upset and then maybe we could have some change? It's like there's no change because it's only black men that are getting shot at. But once we get everybody start getting shot at, then maybe we'll start saying, hey, man, something's going on with these police. And so it's funny, too, because you have a lot of I'm seeing a lot of different, because the police are just getting buck wild. I think that's the main issue, is that you have a lot of cops who are not trained properly and they're going out there and they're abusing their power. I think that's just what it mainly comes down to. It's not even a racial thing, a sexist thing. I think there's some white supremacy in there that's ingrained in society. But I think overall, it's just, it's a bunch of untrained fucks who are out here abusing their power. When you don't know what the fuck you're doing, when you tell somebody not to do something and then they start getting educated with you because they understand the law more than you, you start using brutal force. Hey, well, shut the fuck up. I'm gonna put my hands on you. And that's what's going on in today's society. But once again, they're just shooting at black men. So can you please start shooting at women and children and everybody else? And just, let's turn this bitch to the Wild Wild West so we can fix this motherfucker. Because you need everything to fall the fuck apart for it to get fit. So that's what I'm asking for.
Because again, you got to do it from the foundation.
Do it now from the foundation.
But all right, so what's your view on these body cameras? And we've been using them. They're in Chandler, they're in Gilbert. We have those shits down here in Arizona.
Mm. And
now some of them.
And real quick, not to cut you off, but I agree with the flash cameras. Trav real quick said that they had the non-indictment at noon. They could have did the press release at 2 p.m. They waited till prime time. So just think about that, people. But go ahead, Popo.
Well, actually, since you bring that up, when they came down, and I don't know if this is an accurate thing or this is something that just went viral on Tumblr, but I saw something about the jury that they had picking, you know, whether they're going to indict this cat or not. And they, I guess they had six white women, and I think two or three black women and then one black dude.
Okay.
How was it?
I have no idea, because, yeah, I tapped out with the jury when I heard that they let him go. I kind of tapped out.
Well, all they needed was 9 votes to say whether they're going to indict him or not.
Oh,
3 were white men, 6 are white women. You have your 9 right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your 2 black women and your 1 black man. 3 out of the 9 were of the black persuasion.
And that's how you do it. And that's the whole token Negro thing, is that you put enough white people in there to make the powerful decision, but then you put enough black people in there to say that, hey, we have some black people in there too. We couldn't put too many black people because then it'll be a black vote. Well, what about when you have too many white people in there? Is that a white vote? No, that's the default vote. And that's, once again, the other issue, is that the white perspective is viewed as the default perspective.
Now, in some cases, I'm not too sure if this is all of them, but a lady friend of mine down here got called for jury duty. Now, in doing so, and she's a sister, she, I guess the person on trial gets to pick who's on the trial. Now, mind you do have a numbers game, and you do need to add in adversity or whatever, but they get a pick. And it was a brother who did some kind of shooting down here, and he looked at the sister and literally counting, saying, that one, that one, that one. I want that one on my trial. Thinking because she's a Rastafari, kind of looking that, you know, she'll protect the brother. You know what I'm saying? And apparently this dude's a creepy looking cat. So I don't know. So they get to pick these things. So imagine, I mean, if you had a line of motherfuckers, I mean, you got to think, okay, well, that would do me some good.
All
hopefully.
I'm saying is, if I'm on trial, I'm looking for the white women with hoop earrings, because they normally into the brothers. And so every white chick with hoop earrings, I'm like, yo, I want her, yo.
Yeah.
But over to the last thing. Body cams on cops. What is your perspective?
I mean, have you seen The Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal and some beaner motherfucker and a tragic tale of being a cop in Los Angeles? I don't know. I mean, it's, we should. Why the fuck not? I mean, who's policing the police?
Yes.
Why? If you can have us under camera when we don't fucking want to, then they should too. And there should be no fucking kill switch for that shit.
And
have it always be on.
I agree. I believe, especially with this whole NSA thing, how we're watching everything around the world, then we need to also put cameras on every single cop that the cops themselves can't turn off. and we need to record all this shit, because this would stop all of this. And I'm not saying this because also, like, as a cop, I would hate to have the thought of, okay, dang, now where I'm off driving, like, I can't even talk like regular or anything, like on a cell phone or anything, because they're recording everything. Like, I don't want it to be where, like, a cop can't be a human being, if you will. But in cases like this, when there's a situation where there's a shooting, you should be able to run the tape and the audio back and just listen to get another perspective of what happened. Not saying that that's the only evidence, but then it's like, okay, you have, this is the cop's perspective, this is the witness's perspective, and then this is the live audio that we got. And from those three different things, we should be able to paint a clear picture of what the fuck happened. So I'm all fucking for it. If the NSA got a yotabyte of fucking hard drive that they could record every video or every phone call, they got all these fucking podcasts we did, every phone call tats, if you want to record all that shit, can we get all this cop shit too, so then we could just make sure that we police the police show? All I ask.
You know, even because there's a lot that goes under the fucking radars, and I'm not too sure if you looked at your phone, the link I sent you on that Jared Pentagrass kid, but the cop had even, there's mind you, the little evidence we do have, when they called dispatch, there was recording him saying, I think I hit a kid, or I think I might have hit him. You know, they later, you know, looked at the tire marks and matched that he sure as fuck did run over the thing, whether he was laying down or not, passed out, because he came from a party is a whole nother fucking thing, which, you know, can throw the monkey wrench in the shit. But, I mean, when we have evidence, why the fuck don't we take that? And, I mean, if we have fucking, these witnesses are coming out, why the fuck shouldn't it be taken further? I mean, this little 12-year-old kid, you know, he had it coming with fucking Mike Brown. I mean, as far as the trial goes.
Hot damn. So, on that note, I think we need to lighten it up. Yeah.
Okay.
I
think that this had me drowned, because when we started the show, we kind of were already on that stuff, the Mike Brown stuff. So it's all so draining. That's why we need to be in our bed list.
So we got to lift our spirits, because I think it's that time. And
Well, it's a little cold out here, son. So because when it's a little cold, we gotta kick up the fire a little bit. And how else are you gonna do it? You know what I'm saying? Besides throwing the pure. You know what I'm saying? No kerosene, no gasoline, but true fire. Oh. And it's time for that sacrifice.
It's time for
dedications. Ooh, give me some auto-tone, please.
And
drip, drip.
This week, it's funny because I have a dedication. It's still kind of this is a serious week. This was a tough week to be black. I'm sorry. But I have one dedication this week. How many dedications do you have, Papa?
Did you say one?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Me too. Yo también quiero empezar una vida nueva.
So I'm going to pass the floor over to you. I'm going to let you hit the world with your dedication first. I got Google, or actually, no, I got Facebook up in the background. Oh, whoa.
Okay, well, I don't know whether to say she's up and coming. Her relevance is because she's going to be in a new movie, I think, releases probably within a week or so, or probably now in some select theaters, called Life Partners. I have no idea what the shit's about. I had two bitches on the cover. I'm thinking, who? Widita. One of them is your dedication from the community. The other one was my dedication from some fucking chick show on the CW. But her name is Abby Elliott. A-B-B-Y. E-L-L-I-O-T-T. She's on this movie. She's also a second generation SNL cast member. Mm. Not only a female, but her daddy was Chris Elliott. Goofy, hey. Weird dude. If you remember him from Scary Movie 2, he's the one with the little weird hand. He's my strong hand. Yeah. My germs. Yeah. Anyways, he's a weird fucker. But she's adorable. Widita. She has parodied Angelina Jolie. That's a bold move. apparently she was on the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. I don't fucking remember her, but she was in it. Just to throw something that's I don't know. Beautiful. Something to burn, something to charboil, you know what I'm saying? Something to fill in. No, you don't have you seen her?
No, I'm
I mean
with
she's
it.
She's
no,
she's
yeah,
not
and
the
I
most.
Do like her, yeah, and she's is she's currently on Saturday Night Live, right?
She is.
Okay, yes, I do know her, and she is adorable.
Yeah, that's all.
She is adorable.
Okay. Kind of a weak one. I don't know. I should have more excitement.
Mine this week, I guess, keeping with the pro-black fuck the police thing. Fucking my dedication goes to actually a chick on Twitter who goes by Alicia versus World, and that's at AlesiaVsWorld, and she's my dedication because she went off on motherfucking November 26th on Twitter and was dropping some hot fire, and I was going to read a few of these tweets real quick. She says, in America, the KKK can still meet, but if more than five black people stand too close to one another, it's suspicious. Then she says, but white kids can mock Trayvon's death and post photos, yet we are racist for calling them out. She says, white people, please erase the idea that racism is just lynching and slavery. The most subtle actions show your true colors. It says, white people in history never used peace to get what they wanted. White people now, maybe if y'all were peaceful, things would change. Oppression and hurt feelings are very different things. Bullets hurt much more than words do. She says, my words, my tweets, my thoughts can never oppress you, but white supremacy can have my people killed like animals without justice. Y'all sure do get upset over Starbucks jokes to turn around and tell black people to get over slavery. Somebody's a little sensitive, huh? Then she says, some white parents will make a bigger deal out of video game violence than they will about real life violence against black people. So shouts out to her for dropping that hot fire. And I do have one other thing to add to that real quick. I do ask the question because after the Nazi shit with Hitler and all that in Germany, last I checked, Nazism is like illegal in Germany. But why is it still legal for the KKK to get together and all that? Like, isn't that a terrorist group that we're allowing in America? Because that's their God-given right. So, like, shouldn't ISIS be allowed to link up in America? Like, that's their American right. Like, they're just meeting. They're just brothers meeting.
I got two things to say about that. And I laugh because I saw pictures of them at the Ferguson thing, and motherfuckers were in legit KKK gear. I mean, I shouldn't necessarily say they at least had a hood. Now, I'm not too sure how many motherfuckers got these hoods just on deck just for whenever, but you can tell that there were fraternity white boys that were under them shits. So whether it's just some ridiculous fucking poor joke, they were out there. They were rallying, just like these niggas were rallying around fucking caves, seeing liquor stores, you know what I'm saying, getting they feel, getting they fix.
Second statement I want to make
is Grand Theft Auto 5 is bundled with the PlayStation 4, and that's just awesome. That's just awesome.
Just to let you know. Oh, real quick, let me share a picture because I didn't even like share a picture of what old girl looked like. So, shouts out to her.
You didn't share a picture of mine with Ita.
Oh, and actually, my bad because I got her up in the background too.
Oh,
wait. Oh, look where at that. Oh, yeah, because this is the screen I was looking at. So, yeah. Cute little Abby. And then my pro-black queen over here, yo.
Sister,
she got the dreads on and looking all gorgeous and earthy and all that. And so it's just some
pictures. That is what I find the most attractive in a sister, though, is when she got it on luck like that.
Look at those lips. I'm just saying. Oh! But so that's my dedication, yo. So... fuck the police is all I'm saying. Yo. So I'm just saying that we started this motherfucking gangster shit, and this the motherfucking thanks we get.
Yeah, you know. Hello.
Once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles you want to hear us talk about, shoot them over there. Find us on the web, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. Make sure you subscribe to our show to never miss the episode. You can find us on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. And if you don't want to do any of that, just head over to the website, IBHMPodcast.com, and find all of the motherfucking links right there. So,
it's all there. So simple.
Once again. once again.
Oh, I'm black?
He's Mexican.
He's lying ass.
And if you didn't like this podcast, Papo, what might they do?
Probably just too full. Thanksgiving. You're tired. You don't want to deal with shit. But you're a goddamn racist. More than likely.
Gotcha.
Lord bless it be.
On that note.
On that note.
Whoa.
Adios. Shoot some people.
Bang, bang.
This gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello,
I started this gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello,
the motherfucking world is a ghetto, full of magazines, full clips and heavy metal. When the smoke settles, I'm just looking for a big yellow in 6-inch stilettos, Dr. Dre.
Hello,
percolating, keeping waiting while you sitting there hating. Your bitch is hyperventilating, hoping that we penetrating. You get snating, cause I never been to Satan. For hardcore administrating, gangbang affiliating. MC Renner had you wildin' off a zone and a whole half a gallon.
Get to dialing
911 emergency.
And you can tell him
it's my son, he's hurting me.
And he's a felon
on parole for robbery. Ain't no cop in the plea, ain't no stopping the G. I'm in a 6, you got to hop in a 3. Company monopoly, you handle shit sloppily. I drop a key properly. They call me the Don Dada. Pop a collar, drop a dollar. If you hear me, you can holler. Even Rockwallers follow the Impala. Wanna talk about this concrete nigga? I'm a scholar. The incredible, heterosexual, credible. Bag a hoe, let it go. Dick ain't edible. Nigga ain't federal. I plan shit while you handpick motherfuckers giving up transcripts.
Transcripts.
This gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello,
I started this gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get. Villain blows up your spot, take your notebook, your bitch, and your clock. This motherfucker thought the coochie had a padlock. You slapped her ass, that's alarming, cause she want my worm like Carmen. We chin check niggas, them thin check niggas. Run trains on gold diggers, beware these four niggas. Scaring motherfuckers like Stephen King flicks. Making niggas clear the room like a dyke fleeing dick. Making second to none shit, nigga like quick. So when I bomb first, nigga, who you rolling with? Fuck that ice on your wrist, fuck your fine ass bitch. Cause you can lose it in a tussle, nigga, watch me hustle. Watch niggas kiss my ass without flexing a muscle. Bitches all in the back, they knees waiting to buckle. Same time, same channel, don't change the dial. Niggas for life, fucking your wife, these niggas wild.
Hello,
I started this gangsta shit, and it's the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello,
I started this gangsta shit, and it's the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello,
did I fall off? Got you in your room ripping every chronic poster on your wall off. It's cause I put away the sawed off. Now I got you sitting back with a smirk, listening with your arms crossed, questioning Dre's credibility.
What?
Wondering if it's still in me to produce hits. Y'all be killing me as if I need to make more. I got a mansion and 6 cars that I paid for. Suck my dick.
Hello.
We came a long way from not giving a fuck, selling tapes out of a trunk to moving this far up. Now we got the whole world starstruck. Made a million plus and still don't give a motherfuck. Motherfucker, I'm Dre. I don't need your respect. I don't need to make another album, bitch. I don't gotta do shit. I do it because I want to, not to stay in the game. Fuck the fame. I'm still staying the same, little bitch.
Hello. I started this gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello.
I started this gangsta shit, and this the motherfucking thanks I get.
Hello.
Look at these niggas with attitude.